Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I got it right. Welcome to Average Joe Radio. This is Average Joe. I believe I have messed that up for 40 episodes. Today is episode number 41 on Blog Talk Radio, but it's actually episode number 42 if you count the one that we didn't do on Blog Talk Radio last week. We had technology issues with Blog Talk Radio, and we weren't able to get on Blog Talk Radio, but I kind of shot from the hip, and we did our show from just did it on Facebook video. We didn't talk about capital punishment because that's what we're going to talk about today. I wanted to wait. I wanted to make sure we were on Blog Talk Radio because I wanted you guys to be able to call in and weigh in on the subject. I want your opinion about it because it is not a pleasant subject, but it's obviously a very important subject, and it's somewhat controversial, and people have different feelings about it. This day in history, in 1931, the Star Spangled Banner becomes official. President Herbert Hoover signs a congressional act making the Star Spangled Banner the official national anthem of the United States. On September 14th, 1814, Francis Scott Key composed the lyrics to the Star Spangled Banner after witnessing the massive overnight British bombardment of Fort McHenry in Maryland during the War of 1812. Key, an American lawyer, watched the siege while under detainment on a British ship and penned the famous words after observing with awe that Fort McHenry's flag survived the 1800 bomb assault. After circulating as a handbill, the patriotic lyrics were published in a Baltimore newspaper on September 20th, 1814. Key's words were later set to the tune of the Anacreon, I believe, in Heaven, a popular English song. Throughout the 19th century, the Star Spangled Banner was regarded as the national anthem by most branches of the U.S. Armed Forces and other groups, but it was not until 1916, believe it or not, in the signing of an executive order by President Woodrow Wilson, that it was formally designated as such. And then in March 1931, Congress passed an act confirming Wilson's presidential order, and on March 3rd, President Hoover signed it into law. So there you go, this day in history. A new little feature I'm doing, and I've had this on my mind all weekend, but I'm going to do an album of the week just because I want to. I'm Average Joe, so I can do it. It's my show. Pink Floyd, Animals, that's the album of the week. They're the winners. Yay. So I know that's kind of obscure for some of the audience, but, you know, from where I grew up, that still is. That's some good listening right there. So anyway, we're going to move on. Today, capital punishment. If you want to call in, the number to call is 914-219-0884. Capital punishment. It's a moral issue. I'm just going to jump right in here. It's a moral issue. Is it right? Is it justified for us to kill someone under the law because they committed a crime? Typically, these crimes would be if they killed someone else, or if they especially kill a lot of people, like a serial killer or a terrorist or something like that. I'm not sure about rapists, I'm going to get into some more of this. I'm just kind of jumping in, and you guys can jump in anytime you want to, 914-219-0884. So, you know, that's my first question, the morality of it. The Bible says says, thou shalt not kill. It's one of the Ten Commandments. Some people interpret that as thou shalt not murder, you know, because we do kill animals for food. And so does it mean that it's okay to kill people in certain situations if it's in retaliation for something they've done? I'm just asking the question right now. But then it also says in the Bible, and I'm not getting on a sermon here, but somewhere in Scripture, and I can't tell you right offhand where it is, but it references an eye for an eye. You know, you return the favor, so to speak. So, and that's up for interpretation as well. Capital punishment can be pretty gruesome. I mean, some of the ways that people have been killed, executed. One of the most famous executions was Jesus Christ himself, and he was crucified, a horrible death, hung on a cross for a long time before he suffered and died. But that was pretty common back in those days. They would hang people upside down. There was all different methods of crucifixion, and that you may not have expected me to get into that flavor of capital punishment, but, you know, it goes way back. Some of the history of capital punishment origins, as tribal societies developed into social classes and humankind created its own self-governed republics, capital punishment became a common response to a variety of crimes, including sexual assault, treason, and various military offenses. Written rules were created to notify the people about the penalties they would face for participating in any of these misdeeds. One of the earliest written documents that supported the death penalty was the Code of Hammurabi, which was written on stone tablets around 1760 BC. It contained 282 laws that were collected by the Babylonian king Hammurabi, including the theory of an eye for an eye, as I spoke of. Several other ancient documents supported capital punishment, including the Jewish Torah, the Christian Old Testament, and the writings of the Athenian legislator named Draco, who proposed the death penalty for a large variety of misdeeds in ancient Greece. So I got some callers here. I'm gonna take this one. I think this is above average or average Don. We won't give him the big head. Is this you, average Don? Of course not.
If you're speaking, is it me?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Well,
hey.
I guess it is.
Hey, average Don, how you doing?
I'm hanging right in there. I wanted to chime in. You and I have had multiple discussions on this, and I'm glad you're bringing this out for open discussion.
Well, good. What would you like to add? Yeah, we have had a lot of discussions on this, and as you know, this was kind of your idea for the show, and I appreciate you putting that towards me.
Well, my thought, it goes back to, I understand, touching on the religious, the morality aspects of whether we have capital punishment, and capital punishment in itself does not mean the death penalty. You can still be found guilty of a capital crime and be sentenced to life in prison without parole, so the remainder of your natural life. So just focusing strictly on the death penalty aspect of that, I am not political. I'm a constitutional conservative. And so I don't have leanings toward any political party. I'm constitutional based.
Right.
And the thing that concerns me the most is granting to the government, even though we do so under a trial by jury, granting to the government the authority to kill any of its citizens. And so I'm opposed to a death penalty being carried out by the government. I don't think it's a deterrent. I don't think there's any study that actually proves it's a deterrent. In my mind, you can accomplish the sentencing by, instead of the individual surrendering their life, they surrender their freedom. And we already do that to a whole host of degrees, in that we can give essentially penalties that, based on your age, would equate to the remainder of your natural life without it being capital. So I think it's sort of arbitrary and capricious the way it's applied. I don't think that the death penalty is cruel and unusual punishment. The Supreme Court's ruled that way. I have a problem in that the government, even though if you look at the Constitution, it talks about double jeopardy, you can be tried for a capital offense at the state level and be found not guilty, or you'd be sentenced without the death penalty, and the federal government turn around and charge you again under federal law as a capital crime and get the death penalty. So because
right.
they've ruled it's two separate jurisdictions, so therefore it's not double jeopardy. I just have a lot of trouble surrendering to the government the ability for them to kill me because of 12 individuals sitting in the jury that are subject to human error. There have been a whole host of individuals convicted and sentenced to death that, because of DNA, because of other factors, were deemed to have been innocent. And I'm of the old school, rather, you know, a guilty person go free than an innocent person surrender their life. So that's pretty much where I'm coming from. There's a lot of constitutional references to, well, not a lot, but it's in there. I think the Fifth Amendment talks about what you said. You can be sentenced to death by the federal government for treason if you're in the naval or military forces or the militia, if it's during a time of war. So the Constitution touches on it, but not to the lay people, not to the citizens. And I don't trust, right now, if you go by the 14th Amendment, it's equal protection under the law. Then technically, when you've only got 31 out of 50 states with a death penalty, if I commit a crime in North Carolina, I'm sentenced to death. If I commit the same crime in Pennsylvania, I'm not sentenced to death.
Right. Well, that's a good point. I was trying to find, I ran across some information earlier. You mentioned about the deterrent, because I was actually, to myself, I was convinced that people would be more deterred to create crime or to do crime if there was a death penalty. But according to some numbers I looked at earlier today, and I can't find them right now, I was actually trying to find it while you were speaking, that the numbers actually go in the other direction, that the states with death penalty actually have more, I guess you could say, you know, capital crime, you know, murders, kidnapping or rape, and those kind of crimes that people are killed for.
I honestly don't think that any punishment deters crime, because if that were the case, there wouldn't be all of these tens and tens and tens of thousands of people in jail and prison right now for smoking pot. I mean,
well, that's
just
true.
Because you're going to be charged and convicted of something, there's no deterrent that's going to stop you from doing something. And it's punishment. It's not rehabilitation. You're being punished for a crime. But crimes themselves are politically motivated. The sentencing that goes along with it, it's all political. And to me, that, once again, that places too much power in the hands of the government to determine the outcome of a person's life. You know, I think there's reasonable punishments out there. But when it comes to, especially on the one end of the spectrum, you're talking about surrendering your life, the taking of a life by the government, I think you've crossed that line.
Well, let me take a turn on you here real quick, and then I'm going to move on. But I was looking at just looking at numbers again, the cost, and I didn't get the actual numbers here, but just the principle of the thing, the actual cost of trying a criminal and trying to get the death penalty outweighs, say, a life sentence by at least hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars, on the state or on the government, the taxpayers.
Are you talking about the appeal processes that come after the conviction?
Well, that and
or the actual trial itself.
Well, both, everything combined, and then the time that you're going to incarcerate them, and the, you know, usually there's just because of all the things that they have to go through. But yes, the appeals and the process itself, because there's has they really have to have their numbers and have their evidence in place to get the death penalty, and it's usually a longer trial. So and the thing is, I sound like I'm not in favor of it, and actually before I started doing my research, and I still kind of lean towards it. I think if there's a terrorist and they kill many people or a serial killer, and there's no doubt, it's 100% DNA evidence or hundreds of witnesses or whatever. Personally, I'll put it out there. I think they should have the death penalty. But looking at it, from what we're talking about, and again, it's just my opinion. But I get your point, and we've talked about this before, you and I. So far as giving the government the power to kill someone.
With a life imprisonment with no chance of parole, your natural life sentence, the Supreme Court, because I did some looking into this too, they've never actually ruled that solitary confinement for one's life is prohibited. The international law has said, like, lifetime solitary confinement is cruel and unusual, but that hasn't been applied in the United States yet. The Supreme Court's never actually said, yes, that's a fact. There are arguments that it violates the Eighth Amendment. But still, if we were to take that individual, if it is a heinous crime, there are terrorists, they did the mass shootings in the schools, those kind of things, and we put them in solitary confinement for the remainder of their natural life, even if it causes them mental anguish, there's nothing, even with a death penalty, the Supreme Court just ruled, there's nothing prohibiting a painful death that makes it cruel and unusual punishment. So I don't see how solitary confinement for remainder of one's natural life would qualify as cruel and unusual punishment. And they've surrendered their freedom. Their life is gone.
Right.
They're stuck in a cell 23 hours a day, and that's it.
Yeah.
So they can't be a threat to the public any longer.
Right.
You've neutralized the threat. Well, I'm going to go, and I just wanted to throw that out there, and hopefully somebody else will call in and make me look like an ass, but that's the way it goes.
Well, no, Don, I appreciate your addition to the show, because, you and I have talked about this for a long time, so it's only fair that you get to speak your piece and your spin on it, so I appreciate it.
Well, and I'm here anytime, so
all right,
good luck
man, thanks for listening. All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I'm going to jump right into Mr. Scott here. Hello there, Mr. Scott.
Hello, hello. What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing a radio show. What you doing?
See that. First of all, Average Don was awfully eloquent. He's clearly done more homework than I have. But everything he said was pretty well dead on. I wasn't even going to touch on the morality of it. But I agree with everything he said. And clearly, he, again, has done his homework. I was just going to touch on the one of the things he said, the fact that if the government could empirically prove that that had happened, then give them the green light to take them out, for lack of a better terminology.
Right, right.
Time and again, it appears not to be the case, for whatever reason. And again, it seems to be sadly political. That's the only argument I have against it. Things Don said, times 10. I see no asinine argument on his part.
Right.
It was pretty deep. And I hadn't even considered half the things he said. But my only hang up against it, and I have others, but my main one, I guess, was if they could actually say, you killed this person, then you got to go. That's all I was going to say about it. And time and again, we see that they have not done their homework, and for whatever reason, they had to get a conviction.
I had researched that a little bit too, and I think maybe you and I have talked about this as well, because we were talking about doing this show, and if you know, if they're red-handed, you know, a bunch of witnesses hand in the cookie jar, no doubt about it, they killed a bunch of babies and people and or whatever, then I'm in agreement of it. But then on the other hand, I hate to be on the fence about anything, because I like to but you know, like you say, the points that Don made were good so far as the government having the power to kill people.
Right. I have major problems with that too.
I know what I was going to say. I had done some research and found, I was wondering about how many people had been found they were found not guilty after they were already dead. I was trying to find the fancy word for it. Posthumously.
Right.
And there was about, I think once they started using DNA evidence, that there was over, like 20-some people that were found that they didn't actually commit the crime, but they had already been executed. But then on the other hand, I think, and I was trying to go through this information while Don was talking a while ago about that very thing, how many people had been, oh, here we go, how many innocent people have been executed. Yeah, here we go. At least 39 executions are claimed to have been carried out in the United States in the face of evidence of innocence or serious doubt about guilt.
Really?
However, since 1976, the United States has executed over 1,400 offenders. None of them have since been granted a posthumous exoneration. So,
for lack of what reason, we don't know.
Right, right. That's,
it could have been guilty.
You know,
quite possible.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I got this on the Internet, so by God, it must be true.
Clearly. All right, brother. That's all I had to say. Don was, from my perspective, dead on. But, you know, again, to summarize.
Well, he better be, because this was, it was kind of his idea for this show, so I have to give credit where credit's due. So
clearly,
he
done his homework. But that's the only thing I had to say.
Well,
if they can empirically say it, that's cool, so to speak. Not
well,
cool.
I appreciate your participation in your, I mean, I think, again, from conversation that you and I had privately, that I kind of expected you not to be, you know, hey, kill them all, you know. I kind of figured you would be on the more conservative side of that, to, you know. But
well,
anyway.
That's just my leanings, but... Average Don clearly done his homework on that. That's a refreshing thing to hear in today's, well, in our times.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you may as well have done abortion. There's no more heavy topic than that. No.
That's one I'm probably not going to touch. That one's just too emotional, and I would have a hard time holding back on that one.
Right.
So.
No easy answers.
Anyway.
That's all I have to say. But that
well, thank you there, Mr. Scott.
Anytime. We'll be here next Sunday as well. But
okay. Well, thanks for listening, man.
Anytime. Press home.
All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Okay. So I've got another caller here. I'm not sure if he wants to add or anything or not, but I'm going to find out. Hello. This is Average Joe. Who's the 910 we got here? Are you there? 4949. Hey.
Hey. How you doing?
Is this Richard?
Yeah.
Hey, Richard.
Sounds
did
good.
You want to speak, or were you just listening in?
I was listening in, but it sounds like an interesting show. You guys are talking about some interesting subjects. Pretty controversial stuff. Very difficult to solve these kinds of significant problems we face in this world, isn't it? I have a question. How can you have two people that have dissimilar opinions and viewpoints? Neither one can ever be right, because it's based on their perception, and perception is just that. So when people think that they're correct from their own perspective, it's just that, from their own perspective. So
right.
Do you think that there's certain principle-based truths that are absolute, like love, for instance, is a principle-based truth that I think you'd have a hard time arguing against, don't you? that it's wrong or bad or there's something wrong with it, although so many people act not out of love, but out of fear, out of anger and hostility. And, of course, we know that actions that come from that viewpoint are always going to be negative and yield, societal, unhealthy outcomes. What I'd like to know about from the first caller, I'm not sure if he was the first caller because I didn't start listening to him until after, but talking about the death penalty, all that kind of stuff. Well, what are your thoughts, Dan? And where are you going?
Well, wow, Richard. For just listening in and not really calling in for a question, you really opened a can of worms there. When you get down to talking about truth and perception, I mean, we've actually done a show about that. That's a whole nother show. It really was. It looks like we lost Richard there. Maybe he'll call back in. Ultimate truth, and hopefully he'll call back in and be able to listen and we'll address him if he does. But so far as perception and what's really happened, I mean, yeah, that's again, that's a whole deeper subject, and I'm not trying to avoid the question, but perception and truth. Yes, I believe, to answer his question, I believe there is ultimate truth. Ultimate truth, in one grand definition, is God, and but personally, I don't think that us as humans have the ability to know ultimate truth. Maybe we do. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe you can, but I'm a little bit hung up on perception and reality myself. And so I have a hard time just writing that down in stone and saying, yeah, this is what is. The only thing I know is that I'm looking out at something that's maybe looking back, and that's really all I have. I've got my perception and my absolute truth. And you could probably gather from what Richard, just from his way of speaking, he's pretty sharp tack, so I wouldn't want to debate Richard. I'll put it that way. Golly, we're almost out of time already. Wow. Now, granted, we had three callers today, and I think that's awesome. And wow, I didn't know we were gonna just zoom by the clock 30 minutes. Wow. But there's one thing I was going to talk about, just kind of the mechanics of ultimate. I mean, and aside from the deep stuff, was the mechanics of how we've managed to kill each other more efficiently. I talked about crucifixion back in Jesus' day, but we've hung people, we've electrocuted them. They invented the electric chair because it was supposed to be a more humane, instant punishment. There was actually one guy that was it didn't work, and they had to do it twice. the gas chamber, firing squad, beheading with guillotines. And then there's been all kind of slow, just beat them to death punishment. And yes, I am talking more about death penalty than capital punishment, and there is a difference, as Average Don indicated. But wow, what a subject, and I appreciate y'all's participation. We may have to pick this one up again. I don't know if we're going to do it right away, but that's just really awesome, and I appreciate y'all's participation. We've just basically run out of time, so we will be back next week, and thank you all for listening. And for those of you watching on Facebook, go back and just at least listen to a little bit on Blog Talk Radio, because we need the numbers. So we'll see you next time. And again, thank you all for listening, and I hope you have a great week.